previously on Corporate Homie.
Feedback. How to give feedback, how to receive feedback. That has nothing to do with me. Go with God. There are consequences to you using feedback, and there's consequences to you ignoring feedback. On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Lessons that we can learn from the confirmation hearings.
That isn't going to play well with a black woman being emotional, being loud, going back and forth.
Her game was to show character, was to show judicial temperament.
What are you doing? We want to track meet. We don't want to slow it down.
Come on, somebody. Now that's a word.
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I said a whoop whoop.
Okay. You're starting to do this every episode.
I'm so excited about this episode. So we are here today to talk about lessons that we can learn from the confirmation hearings for the next Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
You know you're big time when people start giving you three letters, you know, KBJ.
I was just about to say KBJ. And for those of you who are unaware, this week has concluded Senate confirmation hearings for Judge Jackson to become the next Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. That is the highest legal job in the world. And she is.
And it's a lifetime appointment, right? Forever and ever.
Forever. And she is the first black woman to be nominated to the court in its 233-year history. And I just felt like, and I think you would agree, there were just so many lessons to be learned from watching. It was like a masterclass from watching the
100%. I mean, and it's a BFD.
It's a BFD, and you can Google that for Urban Dictionary later. All right, so let's just get right into it. What's your first lesson?
My first lesson is the point of the hearings is to consider whether or not Judge Jackson is worthy of the Supreme Court. That is the purpose of the hearings. So my first lesson that I learned is people will be off task. And so the Republicans seem to think that the point of the hearings were to use that time to do things like rebuke critical race theory and to help with their own personal agendas because they want to run for president. And so it's just a reminder that you will have times in your career where you're trying to do A and people are trying to get you to do B. So that's my first point. Stay focused.
That's so interesting because you are absolutely right. And she kept eloquently saying, you know, well, that wouldn't come up as a judge. I've never used that. And I wouldn't use it as a judge on, you know, as a justice on the Supreme Court. And I think.
And I think she knows because, you know, she's a judge already. Right.
And I think that sort of a companion lesson to stay focused is another lesson for the homies is sometimes you can take someone else's platform for your own purpose.
And use it for what? Your good.
So I think a lot of the Republican senators, they understood that they were asking questions that didn't have anything to do with her job. But what they were doing was making campaign material, getting Twitter engaged.
That's what I said. They were off task.
So they were like,
they were completely off task.
I'm on my own agenda. I'm not here for this. I'm not actually here to ask her questions. I'm here to capture some clips, some sound, some
and to your
bites.
Point, to your point, there was an article I read this week that caught they had a still shot, a picture of Ted Cruz checking his Twitter after he had gotten into an exchange with one of the other senators. So basically, like, what did the people think about that? What did my followers think about that? So that was my first point. That was my first point, the lesson that I learned. Yeah.
So here was the third lesson. So we got, you know, stay focused and you can use someone else's platform. Third lesson, always be prepared. Preparation.
Hello, somebody.
Preparation is essential. Judge Jackson appeared like she remembered every aspect of every case she had ever worked on or adjudicated over the course of
thirty years.
Right. Like, yeah. So what was clear to me is that she had gone back.
And reviewed. She was prepared.
Right, someone on her team and who was preparing her, they had reviewed what they believed were going to be controversial decisions, things that were going to come up. And she had reviewed a lot of that, which enabled her to be able to answer the questions, even the contentious ones, very calmly, because she never seemed shocked or unprepared for the
surprise. So that's interesting, because my next lesson is very complimentary with that, which is anticipate objections. So, you know, when and this is true for us in all of our work, right? When you're going to go to a meeting, there are going to be people that are like favorable and like what you have to say, and then people who are there to push back against you. And so, or, you know, as we say, thou shalt be tried, right? And so, like, you have to anticipate those objections that you're going to get. And so, to your point, if you anticipate those objections and then you're prepared, you've gone back and done your homework, then you can respond in a calm way, even though the person who is giving you those objections may be emotional. You don't have to match that intensity.
Yeah, and I just want to, I just thought that was great. My next point, and it's amazing we're getting through these points so quickly. The fifth point is, community is essential. So I have two sub points under that. One, lots of the senators reference that the former senator, Doug Jones and his team had been walking her around before the confirmation hearings to meet with people.
Yeah, I think they said something like she had met with like 46 of them even before the hearings began.
That's part of probably why she was so prepared, right? She understood where, like you said, the objections were going to come from, but you need a relationship with someone who can walk you through. You need community. You need to have a relationship with someone who can get to the senators, get around, and get you the meetings. Right. And so that, and it wasn't a current senator. It was the former Doug Jones, right? A former senator. But that's a relationship. That's community. The other place I really saw community is when her college roommate introduced her. And so that's more community, right? Who's going to introduce me? These are, you know, one seemed to be a more professional relationship, Senator Jones. Or former Senator Jones, and then Lisa Fairfax, a longtime friend, but a friend in the legal industry, a well-respected legal mind. And so I just was, you know, really thinking about community. What did you think about the community aspect?
I don't so much have a point about that as I just want to kind of fangirl out over that, right? Like, so, like, first of all, every homie should have a friend that not only can introduce you, but will introduce you, and with that type of eloquence and loyalty, and, you know, and it's such a huge stage, right? Because I know that, like, not only did I went back and Googled her, you know, the woman who introduced her. Then I went down a rabbit hole. I Googled her husband, and then, you know, so you like you said, who you choose to lift you up and to introduce you and to support you matters. And then I think that everything is a relationship. You know, I feel that way about life. I don't think that it is just about being good at your job. It's also like having people within your organization that can speak for you, right? We always talk about like all the important decisions are made when you're not in the room. In this case, you got to have somebody to take you around to the room. So I definitely agree with you on your point about community. My next point is that qualifications are a green fee. Right? Like, qualifications are not the be-all, end-all. And this is something that are one of the big reasons why we even started this podcast is because there's this misnomer sometimes within the minority community that if I just do good work and put my head down, like, that's all that matters. Like, this woman is supremely qualified. She has more qualifications than a CVS receipt. Than a CVS receipt. Her qualifications are long. If you ever been to CVS, it's like the receipts are just like ridiculously long. Right? She has more qualifications than and they didn't care. Like that, she still had to get in there and swing that club. She still had to get in there and defend her record and say, instead of like, she should have just been able to say, "Hey, I've been a judge for this many years. Hey, y'all just confirmed me last summer, and I got 2 degrees from Harvard." But it doesn't work that way, right? So, and it's the same way for us in our jobs. It's not just that you've been practicing law for 20 years and you know bankruptcy inside out and sideways. You still have to like go back and forth with your clients or prospects on strategy. So, qualifications are just a green fee.
I think that's a great point. And I, you know, you're exactly right. And the qualifications didn't keep her from being questioned by less qualified people.
Now that is a whole word. Say that again.
The qualifications
say that again.
Did not keep her from being questioned by less qualified people. And that too will happen to the homies in their jobs. You will have to defend your qualifications, defend your readiness, defend your title, your position, your knowledge to people who have little or no qualifications or knowledge. So that's an excellent point. This one hit near and dear to my heart, and I just, because it was a lesson for me, slow down and think before you speak. Or speak slowly and think before you speak. No matter how emotional or loud or confrontational or outrageous the questions were or emotional they became, she always stopped. She paused. Sometimes she would thank them for the question, which I felt like was a...
Which is buying time.
To gather herself, and then she would answer. And something else I noticed, and we talked about this on an episode recently, when they interrupted her, she would stop and let them interrupt her and let them go ahead and almost kind of bully her on the stage. But I think she understood it's not going, and I think more homies need to understand this, right? Whose stage is it? It's the senator's stage. So you can't win, even if you're right and it's your turn to talk, if the person whose stage it is decides they want to talk. And when they decide they want to talk, yield the floor back to them. Yield the podium back to them.
I love that. I love that. And I think people forget that at work, at our jobs. Like sometimes it's the client stage, right? So you can be there in your rightness and you can't get louder than the client. And then I think she also understood that, you know, the hearings obviously were televised. That isn't going to play well with a Black woman being emotional, being loud, going back and forth, right? Like that's not going, to help her. So I love that. I love that about being, you know, taking a beat, taking a breath, repeating the question. I love that. My final point is what I learned from her is play your game. So of course this is also during March Madness and my beloved Memphis Tigers lost.
Cause they tried because to play, play our game.
Zaga's game. And as soon as the second half began and they were walking the ball up the floor, I was like screaming at television, like,
run,
what are you doing? Run. We want to track meet. We don't want to slow it down. And so to your point, her game was being measured, not being emotional, being prepared, you know, so and staying on task, right? And so I do think that we all have to do that sometimes at work as well, right? You want to work at this pace, do things at this juncture, have this particular cadence, and someone else, whether it be another team member, your boss, your board chair, a client is trying to take you at a different pace. Play your game, because when you start playing other people's game, you are not going to be successful.
I think that's such a great point, because you're right. She, you know, the truth is this. They probably have the votes, right? We have the votes. The Democrats, I'm saying we, as the, like, I'm in there.
We have the votes.
We have the votes.
The votes.
Right. And so her job or her game, as you just stick with your analogy, was to show character, was to show judicial temperament,
poise,
to show her brilliance. And so you, and I feel like they were constantly trying to pull her out of her game. And so you are exactly right. I had one more point, but I thought of another one since we're doing it. So maybe two more, but here's my final point. It was, sometimes you just need to provide rest for others. So everybody, okay, to me, loved Cory Booker because he was speaking life over her. The reason why I loved Cory Booker, he did speak life, but because she had been in meetings and being beat up on for like 12 hours that day.
And he gave her 20 minutes to just, to say nothing.
Minutes.
I didn't even think about that.
And he told her at the beginning, I'm going to talk. You just what? You just sit back. And he took the podium, allowed her to rest. Right? He gave her rest. And while she was resting, he spoke life over her. And I think that's why she teared up, because she was exhausted. And it's okay sometimes to step in and give some and provide rest for someone else. It's like, you know, I go ahead. I've got the floor. You catch your breath. I got you.
So I love that. And for those homies who did not see Cory Booker's speech on day three of the hearings, I encourage you to go to YouTube and find it, because it is exceptional. So I lied. I actually have one more point, which, now that you made this point, which is you need to strategically place allies in the room.
Come on, somebody. Now that's a word.
And, you know, one of the things that I am very good at, professionally in particular, is not only putting allies in the rooms, but like you said, having conversations ahead of time.
You'll whip a vote
and
now.
I am Nancy Pelosi, right? And so I was joking with a friend of mine, because I sat on this board a few years ago, and there was a guy on the board that we just never saw things the same way. We were very rarely in agreement on anything. And he was always frustrated because he always lost to me. And I would kind of chuckle to myself, because I would think to myself, oh, he thinks we're in here voting for real. Like, I've already talked to all of these people before we got in here.
Because
Right. Right. And so, you know, it's like we used to do to DeMarc when we were kids, right? Like, it was only three of us for the homies that don't know.
We have
one brother. We're like, we should vote. We should vote. And then you and I were always together before DeMarc.
Like,
do you want to watch MacGyver? Let's vote on it, right?
Who wants to watch
No MacGyver?
You know?
No. So I do think having Cory Booker in the room, and then there is no value. I want to speak this as well. There is no value in having people on your side if they're not willing to speak up. Cory Booker was the only Democrat that in any shape, form, or fashion that protected her or tried to protect. I mean, I felt like the chair, I'm like, will you? Yeah. But I'm like, use your gavel.
Right.
Like, you know, like, so anyway, that was my thing.
Place
allies in the room.
It's important sometimes just to keep your answers short. So oftentimes the questions that would come from the senators would be very long, very, very long questions, elaborate background, blah, blah, blah. But she would keep her answers short. And I think that sometimes we forget that the more you talk, the more risky your answer could be. And you just, sometimes the person interviewing you or running the meeting, they want to talk. And so it's really important to just answer the question and boogie on down. You know, she is just such, I don't want to end the episode without just saying how impressed I am with her. I'm, you know, like you said it best, I'm in total fangirl mode. I love that she has persevered to get herself to this moment. And I pray that by the time the episode airs,
comes out,
that she will actually be confirmed.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And again, I think Cory Booker said it best. You can't help you know, we're black women. You can't help but see your mom and her, your sister and her, your cousin, your niece. And it's just a very powerful feeling. It's just a very, very powerful feeling. Like, you know, and then for her to have, for lack of a better phrase, an ethnic name and braids, it's a really powerful thing. I just, you know, said Bimitra, you know, to see Katanji sitting there. It's just something like, whoa, you know, huge. So,
yeah. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll be back soon with another episode. In the meantime, you can follow us on all things social. And if you have a desire for us to come out and speak to your organization, you can email us at info@corporatehomie.com. Homie, that's HOMIE. And until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.